Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this episode, we'll hear more from a conversation KWBU aired in December 2015. We talked with Kathleen Tyson, who spent her last years at Baylor researching Waco's crime rate. Tyson examined long-term trends of violent, property, and index crimes in Waco between 1930 and 2013. According to her research, while Waco crime rates were higher than those of the U.S. and Texas for several decades, they've been steadily declining for the last 20 years at a faster rate than other Texas cities. In this conversation, we'll talk about her research, what the impetus behind it was, and how she went about conducting it. This is Behind the Story.
So Kathleen, you know, reading through your research, I was wondering what exactly prompted you to look into Waco's crime rate, and really what prompted you to compare it with other cities, you know, in the state and the state itself, and then the U.S.
Okay, well, to start off with this subject, since I've been studying criminal justice for the last 3 years, it seems like a very natural topic for me to go into the crime rates. Because like in criminology, that's what a lot of criminologists study, is the crime rates and how they've affected people across the world. But I was like, well, I wonder what the crime rates here are in Waco, because it's just like right outside my door. And I went and talked to my mentor to see if that would even be a good topic, because I figured it's such an obvious one. Everybody else would have tried to do it or have already done it. And he was like, no, I've actually never heard of anybody studying Waco specifically, and I think that'd be a really relevant and important topic. So I was like, well, that solves that. I don't have to figure out what I'm going to do my thesis on anymore. But I thought crime rates would actually be a really easy topic, and turns out it's not. It was a lot more than I originally thought it was going to be, but the reason I started adding in other cities is because I felt that to just do Waco is not an accurate picture, because there was nothing to compare it to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, obviously there's these little bitty towns right here next to Waco, so I want to look into those and see how they compare, because if they're all the same, then that's like one reason that you could say for just like the county. But if they're different, then that means there's something going on at a local level that would mean that like Hewitt is different than Waco, and why is that? But I also was like, but I needed to know, since Waco is such a large city, I needed other cities to compare it with. Mm-hmm. For its own scale, I guess, which some obvious picks for me were Dallas, Austin, and Houston. And my mentor decided that should be enough to get a good comparative analysis on, without having to go further. But and then I pulled in Texas averages and the U.S. averages, just so I could have a blanket. Basically, they were my control group, just to have something to compare Waco against, instead of a direct another city, because that city could be an anomaly and I wouldn't know it. And so, yeah, the U.S. and Texas were basically my, like, my control group to see what Waco was, I guess, supposed to be like, relatively. Yeah.
And so what did you find that the Waco crime rates were like, and especially when looking at these control groups?
Yeah, so I was really pleasantly surprised to find out that Waco is extremely similar to Texas and the U.S. But what I found was that was most shocking to me was that the Waco crime rates have been declining since the 1990s. And I was really caught off guard by that, because I've only ever heard that Waco's like this horrible place to live. And I was like, okay. But actually, Waco has less crime now than it did back in, almost the 60s. We're back down to that level. Which was just really shocking to me.
And that's the bit that I found really interesting, because in your research, you write that, you know, anyone living in Waco from 65 to 85 mm-hmm. would have seen more crimes committed and lived through a more turbulent and violent time than any current generation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is really shocking, I think. One, to me, but I think to anybody else that were to find that out, because everybody thinks that their grandparents or their parents lived through an easier time than they are, because everybody is going haywire over a lot of things happening nationally and the different wars and terrorism and the different racial issues and so forth. But in actuality, the things that happened during the Civil Rights Movement and the Vietnam War and the Korean War and so forth, all of that turbulence and all of the, I guess for lack of a better word, a passion in the people, and their, I guess they just acted out a lot more than the current generation does. And there was a lot more violent crimes back then, and a lot more property crimes, and a lot of homes were destroyed in that time period because there wasn't the technology and the, or even the police force and the laws that we have mm-hmm. now were not the same back then. And that's across the U.S. It's not even just Waco. The U.S. trends also showed that between the 60s and the 80s was a much higher crime rate than is happening right now. And I don't think anybody really knows that unless they are criminologists and have studied this. So,
and the other interesting part, you know, to piggyback off of that is that, you know, it's in the, like you were saying, in the early 90s that these crime rates start to mm-hmm. kind of, you know, dip and are in this decline. And you found in your research that Waco's crime rate over the last 20 years has been declining at a faster rate than other cities. So what's, I guess, reasoning behind this?
Yeah. Throughout my research, I never really got a definitive answer to that question. But I think some of the reasoning behind why Waco's is declining faster is because of a, this is more difficult because there's a lot of reasons that could apply nationally, and maybe a theory could be Waco just implemented them better. So, for example, nationally in the 90s, a federal law was put into action to increase a lot of the personnel in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And there was a huge, increase of incarcerations in that time period. And there was also a huge decline in crack on the market, cocaine. And Waco specifically, I would guess, had a better response to those implementations than other areas in the U.S. did. And maybe since Waco is not like a port city, or it's not like in New York City where everybody can get in and out mm-hmm. from different countries and whatnot, that Waco is more easily, this is just completely my hypothesis, able to get rid of crack and gang violence. And because, let's see, in the 90s, there was a, I don't know how to say this, but there was a large just increase in wanting to like calm down, mm-hmm. I think, across the nation. Everybody was tired of all the fighting and all of the hippie wars and all of the different movements that happened in the 60s and 70s. And those people who were teenagers in the 70s are suddenly now parents, and they want their kids to grow up a different way than they wanted to. And so it's the beginning of like the millennial stage, yes, but all of those parents kind of went into shelter mode. Mm. And I think that cracked down on a lot of what those kids were exposed to and what their parents allowed them to be involved in sort of just a general level across the board. But don't know if that's exactly helpful. But
and I want to backtrack just a little bit. When we're talking about the comparison you've done between a lot of the neighboring cities, Kiewit, Belmead, mm-hmm. What were your findings like, especially Waco crime rates compared to those cities?
Yeah. Okay. So Waco and Belmead had a much higher crime rate than Hewitt, Robinson, and Woodway. They the trends were very similar between Waco and Hewitt Robinson and Woodway as far as they went up relatively around the same time and decreased around the same time. But they were, as far as volume goes, hundreds of acts difference between them. And like, I think Hewitt Robinson Woodway were around like the low hundreds as mm-hmm. far as property crimes being committed in a year, whereas Waco was in the like 1200s, 1500s. So there's almost like a 1,000 gap. And Bellmead was the same as Waco as far as being much higher crime rate. But the difference there that was really shocking to me was that Bellmead and Woodway were almost had completely opposite trends, whereas when Waco, for example, would go down, Bellmead was increasing. And that was very strange to me because they're right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, wait a minute, you literally go a mile away and yeah. suddenly the crime rates are extremely more or much higher. And I was just like, how does that even happen? But I think that comes into play with some of the rest of my research that I did into like social demographics and why different neighborhoods might have more crime than others.
Kathleen, I'd like to go back to your research and talk specifically about the social demographics you looked at and about the social disorganization theory. Can you explain just exactly what that means and what it entails and how it might have contributed to an increase or decrease in any of the crime rates you saw?
Yeah. Well, this is social disorganization theory posits that it's basically arguing that a area is influenced by like its property and violent crime rates are influenced by the social demographics, so race, money, family, and so forth. But the main theory put forward by Sean McKay back in the 1950s argued more for a racial component than a economic or familial component. And so I used the social disorganization as a starting point, just because it's one of the most well-known criminological theories of the day. And a lot of people look at it to see whether or not a town is more affected by, I guess, racial and economic indicators mm-hmm. than they are by location, was the argument, I think. And I could be messing this up. I do not have my PhD in this. So, but I, throughout my research, I started with that, but I found that the family indicators and the economic indicators had more to do, or were at least empirically, they lined up better with the violent and the property crime rates of Waco than did, say, the racial heterogeneity did. And so that went a little bit against the social disorganization theory. Mm-hmm. But considering that was put forth in the 50s, I think it's changed a lot in the last 50 years anyway. So
the, if I'm understanding correctly, so the kind of makeup of the house, mm-hmm. you know, there was female household led, mm-hmm. Divorce rates, things like that, that was more statistically significant than racial?
Actually, the family indicators, like you mentioned, divorce rate and the family led households did have a lot more they lined up much more with the trends than did like racial heterogeneity, for example, because I only looked at two of those, but I looked at the African-American race percentage and the percentage of Hispanic, mm-hmm. and neither one of those lined up with the trend I found for property crimes and violent crimes as well as did the like economic indicators, like persons below poverty line or divorce rate or female-led households. Those matched much better than the racial ones did, and which is why I would argue that race doesn't necessarily have to do with it. It's more what type of family household is in the area and what type of poverty. So if you happen to have an area that is very concentrated in a lot of broken homes or it's a very low economy area, a lot, everybody is struggling to have jobs or mm-hmm. to provide for their families, but especially since then you might have single parent households, it becomes, you know, only one person bringing in income. And so you put those two together and that neighborhood may or may not have more of a minority racial-wise in it, but a lot of the research I did, especially there was a criminologist I studied, Samson, and he studied different groups. So he took like a area that had high concentration of poverty mm-hmm. and high concentration of single-parent households. But he took one community of majority was white families, and the other community he looked at was like a majority of, I think it was Hispanic. And he didn't find a difference between the two. And a lot of people, especially people who study the straightforward disorganization theory, want to argue that it's a racial difference when it's actually not as much as it is or has to do with poverty or family structure.
So I'd like to switch gears real quick and talk about one of the parts that I thought was the most interesting of your research. And, you know, in 1953, there was a spike in violent crime in Waco.
Yes.
And this, of course, the same year that a tornado touched down in the mm-hmm. city and tore through the downtown area, caused millions of dollars in damage. And then so there's that instance. And then mm-hmm. there's also the decline in crime rates in 1994, mm-hmm. Which occurs just after the 1993 Branch Davidian Waco siege.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these are two very different events, and mm-hmm. they're also two very different outcomes, you know, a spike and a decline.
Mm-hmm.
But do singular events have any effect here? Because in your research, you briefly mentioned the May 17 Twin Peak shootout, but
right.
do singular events have any real weight in the historical look or the bird's eye view look
right.
of a...
If you're going to look at the totality of the 84 years I studied, mm-hmm. I would argue no. A singular event does not reflect accurately how the future years are going to proceed as far as the crime rates go. Because like you mentioned, in 1953, there was a tornado. And the reason I went looking for that information in the first place is because there was an unusual spike. And then in 1994, there was a drastic drop in the crime rates, which after that event, people could argue maybe the law enforcement decided to spread their forces around and patrolled more. They cracked down on a lot more crime, maybe. Maybe some laws were implemented to help people feel more safe, and those worked. I wouldn't actually know. But and then like this summer with the Twin Peaks tragedy,
mm-hmm.
I would still argue that that event, even though it is horrific, was not an accurate representation of Waco as a whole.
Overall, what is the big takeaway from the research you've conducted? Because, you know, we're talking about a lot of these events, and I think these three are the kind of marquee events that people think of when mm-hmm. they hear Waco.
Yeah.
And that leads to kind of... perpetuating this idea of the city is unsafe.
Yeah, I think it was really sad that events such as Twin Peaks or the event back in 1993 and the siege that happened can so, I guess, basically be the only thing people might know on the outside about Waco if people don't actually live here, because those things get splashed on national news. And mm-hmm. then other people who from like California who've never heard of Waco until they saw the Twin Peaks incident on their TV only know that about Waco, mm-hmm. that this is where this mass shooting happened. And I think one of the most important things that I've done with my research is pull the empirical data and actually have facts that people from Waco or people looking at Waco could look at and be like, oh, wait, no, the crime rates in Waco are actually not reflective of this huge mass tragedy. Baylor University parents and students who are looking to come there, since it's located in Waco, I think it's really relevant that they know that Waco is much safer than what they might have heard, because I think a mass tragedy such as Twin Peaks can cause a huge misconception. Mm-hmm. And it does put forth that idea, or it perpetuates the stereotype that Waco is really dangerous, when in actuality that's not the case. But I think the most relevant discovery I made is mm-hmm. that the crime rates have been decreasing drastically since the 90s at a faster rate than any other city I compared it with. Dallas, Austin, Houston, it's faster than Texas and the U.S. And as of 2013, which was the last year I could collect data for, the violent crime rates, for example, in Waco were at, 404, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, 400, because Texas was at 404. So we were right below Texas. And the U.S. was at 368, which I thought was shocking and really exciting, because if Waco continues this trend, then it's going to have a lower crime rate than the Texas average, which includes little towns that, like I came from, Lipscomb, Texas, that have 28 people and zero crime. Like nothing ever happens there. And Texas is so big, and so is the U.S., that in the U.S., yes, there's towns like L.A. or New York mm-hmm. that could inflate the data, but there's also Wyoming and Montana where nothing happens. So I think it was really exciting to see Waco decreasing at such a rate that it's going to be lower than the U.S. and Texas, hopefully in the next few years.
Lastly, Kathleen, I'd like to talk a little more about the crime rate here in Waco. Although the city's rate is declining at a much faster rate than the other Texas cities you looked at, its actual crime rate is still at a higher level than those cities, right?
As of 2013, it has a higher level than Austin, but is lower than Dallas and Houston. And it was higher than all of those, let's say, maybe back, and I could be wrong, in the 80s, I want to say. I don't have my charts at the second. But they currently, Waco has a much faster declining rate than all three of those cities. And so in the near future, I would expect it to, well, it's been going this way for 20 years, so
probably
expect
continue.
It to continue.
Kathleen, thanks for talking with us today.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
You've been listening to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this episode, we talked with Kathleen Tyson, who spent her last years at Baylor researching Waco's crime rate. Tyson examined long-term trends of violent, property, and index crimes in Waco between 1930 and 2013. To hear this episode and past episodes of Behind the Story, visit our website at kwbu.org.